Well, good morning again, and greetings to each of you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is a special day. Today is a day of celebration. It is a day of joy. It is a day of hope. Today can be that kind of a day, all because, and only because, Jesus, God's only Son, came down to this sin-cursed earth, walked among us in human flesh, took the sins of all humanity upon himself on the cross, died on that cross in the ultimate demonstration of love and atonement, and rose again triumphant on the third day. In it, destroying the bars of death and hell forever, and is sitting now at the right hand of God, alive forevermore. Hallelujah, what a Savior. This is why we have hope this morning. I've entitled the message this morning, Christ, Our Risen Hope. Hope is not something that we hear very much about right now in the world around us. As the world deals with the COVID-19 pandemic, as businesses struggle, as people are laid off work, as people worry about the future, as economic systems struggle with the fallout, as people come to realize that they are not as in control as they thought they were, and most importantly, as lives are lost, hope is not something that we hear much about. Rather, it's distress, fear, panic, paranoia, distrust, anger, and political fighting that we see and read about. But my challenge to each of you this morning is this: what are we, as believers, thinking about and dwelling on? While the rest of that is so prevalent around us, what are we as believers bringing to the people around us and to the people in our sphere of influence? Are we extending comfort and compassion to the hurting and the grieving? Are we giving to those in need? Are we speaking peace to those in distress? Are we extending hope to those who have lost hope? Where does my hope rest? Where does my hope come from? Where am I resting my security? Is it in my own ability and even my own preparation for the future? Or does my security and hope rest in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I believe that God wants to bring a message of hope to the world today through believers in this time. Hope that is only found in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. I looked up a definition of hope, and this is what Merriam-Webster had to say, or at least some of the definitions that they gave. Hope includes trust and reliance. And I think as we think about hope and trust really are inextricably linked. If we don't trust something, we don't have hope in it either. Hope is also to desire with expectation of fulfillment, to expect with confidence, a desire accompanied by expectation of or belief in fulfillment. This morning, I would like to look at what Matthew has to say about the death and resurrection of Jesus. So I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. I believe that even though we're going back just a step from the resurrection, I believe that as we're reminded of what Jesus endured before his death, we are able to more fully appreciate what the resurrection means for us today. I believe the scripture says it best, and the scripture is powerful. So I invite you to imagine with me what it might have been to immerse yourself in the crowd of spectators surrounding this time. I would like to read Matthew 27 and Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 27, verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore, that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put him on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when they had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocked him with the scribes and elders and said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went off and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee and into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah, what a Savior. As Christ suffered at the hands of his own creation, his extreme, never-ending love for us and his desire and willingness to do his Father's will kept him focused and steadfast to the end, providing salvation and eternal life for each one of us. As I pondered this passage, I kept being reminded that the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus truly is the most cataclysmic event in all of human history. Nothing else compares to it. It physically and spiritually shook the earth and the cosmos. You know, in today's world, there are lots of words are thrown around and lots of identifiers and adjectives are used, often in a bid to outdo someone else's wordage. And we hear words like awesome and epic and things of that nature. But I believe this here that we have read truly defines epic. This is truly awesome, what God has done. Truly awesome. Truly epic. Truly cataclysmic. What Jesus has done for us on the cross and in the resurrection. There were a number of miracles that happened in these chapters. When Jesus died, there was darkness over the whole land for 3 hours. Imagine the chaos and the fear that sparked. The veil of the temple was torn in two pieces from the top to the bottom, making a vivid picture of the path we have to God through and because of Jesus. Imagine the scramble and the terror in the temple that the Jews and especially the priests felt if there was anyone around. And I believe that this is likely why some of the priests came to faith later, because of the veil being rent in the temple and them being able to see firsthand the Holy of Holies. Realizing later that they had access to God through Jesus. There was an earthquake. The rocks were split. It would have been an awe-inspiring thing to experience. Graves were opened. And after the resurrection, the bodies of these saints, when they arose, they came out and appeared to many. Perhaps some of these miracles that took place are proof of why, are part of why the Jews felt compelled to request a watch around the tomb. The evidence that Jesus was indeed the Son of God was piling up, and they felt desperate to stop this, to squash this. And it's a reminder to me that, again, that we are no match for God's plan. We are no match for God doing what he wants to do. No matter how many soldiers, how many layers of security, how many layers of protection around they would have placed around the tomb, nothing, absolutely nothing, would have kept Christ in the tomb. As we move into chapter 2, the beautiful climax to Christ's mission on earth, another earthquake, which I'm sure reminded the people of several days prior. Another earthquake shook the earth. The angel of the Lord descends, rolls back the stone to show the world that the tomb is indeed empty. Christ had risen. The angel's countenance was as lightning, his clothes as white as snow. The watch around the tomb, the soldiers that were there, were as dead men. The seal did no good. None of this was any match for God's power and the angel that he had sent to reveal the truth inside the tomb. He had destroyed the bars of death and hell forever. Noteworthy, too, to me, is that the women were the ones that were there to hear the news first. In Jewish court of law at that time, a woman's testimony was not admissible. Jesus knew that. He also knew their love and devotion to him, and he trusted them and their testimony of his resurrection to be given to the disciples and to the rest of the world, that he had risen. They ran with fear, maybe several kinds of fear, I don't know. Possibly a fear of the awe-inspiring sense of a fear of God. Possibly also a fear that the disciples wouldn't believe them. But whatever the case, the Bible says they ran with great joy. I don't believe that they were worried about looking dignified as they went. They just ran with the most exciting news that they had ever been given. They simply had to share their earth-shaking news, truly earth-shaking. As they ran, they had the awesome privilege of meeting Jesus on the way back to the disciples. And their response was worship. As we think about the resurrection and a risen Savior, our response can only be worship if we truly understand what Jesus has done. Their response was also hope. True hope had filled their lives again after being dashed to pieces. What is our response? If we truly believe in the resurrection of Christ, we will respond to the hope within us by taking Jesus' words in verses 18 through 20 to heart. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age of the world. Amen." Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. This should fill us with tremendous hope as we think about Christ being our risen hope. As we take a hold of this promise, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Realize that Jesus offers this to us even when he, Son of God, felt a separation from God as he bore the weight of the sin of the world on the cross. As he bore that separation for us so that we can be assured, he bore that separation for us so that we can be assured that he will always be with us. We will never need to be truly alone if we confess him as Lord and Savior. He has said to us, "Lo, I am with you always," even though he felt that separation from God on the cross. Christ, our risen hope. I want to also briefly look at Paul's affirmation of Jesus' death and resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, and you're welcome to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll read a few verses here as well. In this chapter, he argues for the validity of the resurrection and its importance. I'd like to read the first 8 verses initially. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James and of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Paul affirms the resurrection story. He affirms the life, death, sacrifice, the resurrection of Christ. He mentions all those that saw after. Having this many witnesses was truly great evidence. And it is something that we can still be grateful for today. In verses 20 and 21, he says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." And jumping back to verse 19, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Without the hope of Christ beyond this life, if our hope in Christ is only for here, Paul says we are of all men most miserable. But that's not what we need to be, because Christ is alive forevermore. This morning, my brother-in-law Phil sent a poem that I found fitting for this morning as well. "May the celebration of resurrected life bring new hope to your being. May the victory over earthly death turn your eyes to the promise of heaven. May the empty tomb help you to leave your sorrows at the foot of the cross, so that God's hope, promises, and forgiveness reign in your life forever." The resurrection of Christ and the reality of eternity with him is the key differentiator between Christianity and other religions. This is why we have hope, true hope. This is how we can rise above any and all circumstances we find ourselves in. What we face here is temporary. What we look forward to because of our hope in the risen Lord is eternal and forever. Today is a special day. It is a day of celebration. It is a day of joy. It is a day of hope. Today can be that kind of a day because Jesus, God's only Son, came down to the sin-cursed earth, walked among us in human flesh, took the sins of all humanity upon himself on the cross of Calvary, died on that cross in the ultimate demonstration of love and atonement, rose again triumphant on the third day, destroying the bars of death and hell forever, and is sitting at the right hand of God, alive forevermore. I want to close with several verses at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 51 to the end of the chapter. Verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." May we lift up our eyes from this sin-cursed earth and look up in hope unto Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, author and finisher of our faith. Let's pray. Lord, we bow humbly before you this morning, being reminded of your great sacrifice on the cross. Lord, you endured much at the hands of your creation. You endured much to carry our sin. We are forever grateful in the truest sense. Lord, thank you this morning that we can have hope. We can have hope in you, our risen Lord and Savior. You destroyed the bars of death and hell. We can live with you forever. We can extend hope and healing and help to those around us in need. You can shine your light through us to the world around us that desperately needs it. Lord, help us to be beacons of that hope, as even when we feel largely incapable of being much of a beacon, it is your light that shines in us and your light that we want to shine for the world to see in a time when hope is needed. Lord, thank you for this tremendous gift. Thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, sits at your right hand, and we honor you and worship you and thank you for that this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to close with one final song as a family.
Number 607, Lift Your Glad Voices.
Amen, and God go with you as we serve our risen Lord together this week.